Your Honors, my name is Douglas July. I am the petitioner counsel here for oral argument today. Your Honors, I'd like to focus the court's attention on three main issues. There are other issues in the case, but I believe that the issues need to be focused on is number one, whether the immigration court, which was decision was adopted by the board, made a proper finding that respondent was not eligible for asylum due to a serious non-political crime. The second issue is that whether or not threats from the Russian police that are confirmed by the prosecutor's office are hollow or anonymous or vague and not considered past persecution. And the third issue is whether or not the court properly considered the Convention Against Torture issue.
Did the court at all consider, did the agency at all consider a matter of YL factors?
No, I don't believe it did, Your Honor. And looking at the immigration judge's decision, that was not part of the analysis. The respondent's briefing argues that a matter of YL is a different standard and a different kind of a different world. But all we have in regards to serious non-political crime and drug sales cases is Guan v. Barr, cited in the respondent's brief. And that's a case where the petitioner, immigration court respondent, actually testified in immigration court that they were financing drug transactions in the Philippines. So that's direct involvement in trafficking. There was no doubt about that. And I think that really cuts right to it here. That's why I encourage considering matter of YL for guidance, at least, because is drug sales a serious non-political crime? Maybe, probably. Is drug possession a serious non-political crime? Probably not. Where does this case fall? You've got a conviction from Russian government authority for...
Well, but here's the thing, counsel. I mean, I don't think we should be considering that, shouldn't we? I mean, I think the agency should be the one considering that.
I completely agree. I do want to point the court's attention to, if you look at the immigration judge's decision, that's a certified administrative record at 95 to 96. Okay, the immigration judge finds, as we all know, found the petitioner to be credible, but there were some caveats in there. And the immigration judge said, well, you know, under Ming Dai, I don't really think that there was some hidden political motive in the prosecution of this crime. But the immigration judge does not say a word about the fact that it was 2 grams, that he received it in the mail. He was purchasing 2 grams of marijuana. He did admit to use of marijuana. But the judge's decision does not talk about the credibility, the intersection of fact with petitioner's credible testimony that it was basically a possession crime, in comparison to, let's just say Guan v. Barr. Let's use that as the standard. So what I'm getting at is that the immigration judge didn't really address the elephant in the room, which is that this was a possession crime, according to petitioner's testimony. And the immigration judge says, I don't think it was some type of political political targeted conviction or prosecution. But the judge doesn't consider or analyze whether it was a sales crime or a
counsel. Do you think that the immigration judge should have analyzed petitioner's crime under the matter of Weil?
I think that's all we have. I think that there should have been some consideration. Well, yes.
So the matter of Weil deals with particularly serious crime, correct? Not serious non-political crime.
I agree with that. But what I'm saying is that in regards to a drug sales offense, let's just say a conviction, evidence of a drug sales conviction in the context of a serious non-political crime, there's really no guiding case law on it, other than this Guan v. Barr case, that where the person testified in court, immigration court, that they were involved in financing drug transactions. And I want to point to the respondent's brief at page 20 that points out we're not looking at a conviction here. We are looking at conduct, what actually happened, evidence of fact, not a conviction. So it's a little bit counterintuitive. Here we have a conviction, but we have credible testimony that it was a possession crime. So we would ask that that fact be considered, given that we're dealing with conduct here. And I don't think, given the larger backdrop of case law about serious non-political crimes, they all involve violence, or at best, some participation in drug trafficking. This was not a participation in drug trafficking. This was a possession, and at best, the immigration judge didn't really consider.
Are you aware of any cases, whether in the Ninth Circuit or some other circuit, that has applied in the matter of Weil to serious non-political crimes?
No, Your Honor. No, this would be a first in my research, my understanding. I don't want to go too far in the rabbit hole, but if the immigration court and the board did apply a matter of Weil, I don't know that this court would have to consider it under the new agency scheme, Loper Bright and all of that. But nonetheless, it wasn't considered. I think it needed to be considered. The other issue,
just stick with the matter of Weil. I mean, does it make sense to apply matter of Weil to a serious non-political crime? In some ways, you know, the language in matter of Weil was maybe some sort of safety valve for a particularly serious crime. It's a pretty high threshold, so perhaps a little safety valve. Serious non-political crime isn't as serious. So do we need to apply, or are we required to apply matter of Weil here?
I don't think you're required to. I think you should remand to get this sorted out at the board, rather the immigration court, because the board adopted that decision. So I don't think you're bound to use matter of YL here, but I do think matter of YL is a situation where you had a conviction and a bunch of facts that really didn't support that conviction. Here we're dealing with a standard where you look at conduct, you don't look at the conviction. I'm just kind of pointing that out, that matter of YL is guidance here. But I don't think, unless the court is going to find that a drug possession of 2 grams of marijuana, purchasing 2 grams of marijuana illegally, is a serious non-political crime, I think. Our position.
Counsel, we couldn't really do that, right? I mean, we couldn't. I mean, we would need to let the agency determine that.
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah, that is correct. I would agree with that. I don't have much more on that issue, Your Honors. If there's
I have a question, Counsel. So what exactly are you looking from us? What do you want us to do? Remand for what?
For the immigration court, for the immigration court to consider and make findings regarding whether petitioner's testimony regarding the amount of the substance and the participation in drug trafficking facts are credible.
So essentially applying Matter of YL factors.
Yes, okay. But not really deeming that they're bound by Matter of YL as yes, Your Honor. Sorry. I withdraw my statement about them being bound by it. It is a BIA case decision, albeit on a different standard. And before I reserve my rebuttal time, I'll just state that regarding the threats and past persecution, that these were personal threats from the police, the government authority in Russia. They were confirmed by the prosecutor, and the petitioner and his spouse were deemed credible. So I would argue that given the backdrop of political dissonance in Russia, that such threats are not hollow. They're not vague. They're completely credible. They're completely able to be carried out by the threatening authority, and that was past persecution. Based on that, I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court, Drew Ensign, Deputy Assistant Attorney General for the United States. The BIA and IJ correctly concluded that there was probable cause that petitioner Anton had committed a serious non-political crime, a conclusion amply supported by his conviction for drug trafficking resulting from a guilty plea, as well as his own admission that he repeatedly purchased drugs from illegal websites. The BIA and IJ also reasonably found that petitioner Valeria had neither established past persecution nor a likelihood of future torture if they were returned to Russia.
Counsel, let me ask you about Matter of YL. Do we need to consider that? Should the BIA have considered Matter of YL?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. Matter of YL was dealing with the particularly serious crime bar, which is a different bar. And as this court's precedents have recognized, that is a higher threshold than the serious non-political bar. So whereas something that could justify an exception under the higher particularly serious crime bar does not necessarily hold, and I don't believe it does for the other factors I'll get into in a second, that it would have to hold for the serious non-political crime bar. And if you look at why...
But it's not a per se rule, though, counsel. Do you argue that it is a per se rule that this particular, or establishing this particular crime is a bar?
I don't think you would need to go that far. I mean, I think what you have here, and it's diminished in another way too, the particularly serious crime bar has to be a conviction. Here, you only have to have the equivalent of probable cause that a political non-serious crime was committed. And so here, that probable cause is supported by an actual conviction for the very thing that clearly qualifies. And indeed, if you look at AR 226, petitioners themselves in their brief say Mr. Shunovich was convicted of drug smuggling. You also have his guilty plea to drug trafficking. You also have his admission that he repeatedly purchased marijuana from illegal websites.
Right, counsel, but we are interpreting the factors of Matter of YL. We are determining that this is not de minimis. We are then determining whether or not it's appropriate to excuse and determine whether or not it is a a particularly serious non-political crime. But isn't that the agency's responsibility, and therefore isn't it the appropriate decision to let the agency make that decision?
I think the agency has made that decision. The agency found that this qualified as a political, as a non-political serious crime, and on that basis refused to apply YL.
Is there a mention of YL?
It was certainly presented in briefing to it, and I think you can regard it as a argument that was rejected.
Well, we review cases, counsel, based upon the record. If there's nothing in the opinion by the agency, in the decision by the agency, how do we know that they considered it?
I think that they went through the analysis that comports with that legal conclusion. They may not have done that explicitly, but they had that argument presented to them.
So you can see that it's not in their order.
Your Honor, I'd have to check specifically. This is not, I believe, an argument that was specifically raised that they needed to go through this analysis. The analysis was simply that because this is a conviction that you have to apply YL, but that's not what we have here. What we have is a non-political serious crime, and only under a probable cause standard. And I think if you look at matter of YL, and if I may, just a quick matter of housekeeping on that, both briefs incorrectly cite matter of YL. It's a different YL. The correct citation is 23 INN December 270. It's a 2002 case, not a 2007 case. It's cited in both the briefs. But I think if you look at that case itself, what you see is it's very begrudging. It says, maybe if all six of these factors were met, maybe I would think that there might be an exception. And that is for the higher politically, for the particularly serious crime bar that requires a conviction. Here you have a lower threshold, both in terms of the criminality required and in terms of the quantum of proof. All you have to have is probable cause. And here, too,
same reasoning would apply here, counsel. I guess I don't understand why you believe that would not be the same reasoning. Could you explain that to me?
Sure. I think that where you have a more serious bar, where the higher threshold of meeting a particularly serious crime, therefore you may have to have additional showings. And those six factors that I believe the Attorney General cites in matter of YL recognize that perhaps some drug trafficking crimes don't qualify as particularly serious crimes. Sure. But when you have a lower bar of just the serious non-political crime bars, you may not need that exception. And in fact, the IJ and BIA refused to apply that exception, in the case before.
But they just said the presumption applies. They said the presumption applies. Is that not right?
They did rely on the presumption and shifted the burden to him and said that he had not satisfied his burden. And I think that's well supported here. You have not just...
But if we have said it, it's not a per se rule. How can we just say it's the presumption applies?
Because they said they went through the standard of the government established as prima facie case that the bar may apply, which is amply supported by the fact that there was a conviction for the very crime that would have rendered him ineligible, and then said, based on the record before it, that he had not carried his burden. And that finding is amply supported both by several factors. It's supported by the fact that he was convicted of drug trafficking. It's supported by the fact that he pled guilty to drug trafficking, and it's further supported by his admission that he repeatedly engaged in illegal drug transactions. I mean, I think that, this is only under a probable cause standard, and he's essentially admitting to, criminality that's at least adjacent to the drug trafficking crime for which he was duly convicted.
Yeah, matter of YL is very clear. I mean, this is a very narrow exception that would apply to certain circumstances. And he very well may not be the appropriate individual that gets this exception, but shouldn't it be the agency making that decision and analysis and certainly not this court?
Your Honor, I don't know that they needed to do that. I mean, the particularly serious crime bar were at issue, then the BIA would need to apply its precedent on that point. But where there is no precedent, where you're dealing with a different bar, they don't have to explicitly on the record distinguish what is an inapposite case. What they have done is they've instead applied their precedents within the non-political serious crime bar and held that under those precedents that he had failed to carry his burden, which had been shifted to him due to the the conviction as well as the guilty plea as well as the admission to the conduct at issue.
You mentioned the difference between the particularly serious crime bar and the serious non-political in terms of the threshold as well as the quantum of evidence. I mean, are there other differences, whether it be standard review or any significant differences between the two?
There are differences that are not really squarely presented here. They're kind of alluded to. He seems to rely on the case law about atrociousness or whether or not the political aspect dominates its common law character, but that none of that is presented here. This is not a political crime. This is marijuana possession and use. There's no political angle to it. They seem to suggest that that there's a political angle because it's a politically motivated prosecution rather than a crime, but that's a proposition that this court has squarely rejected. As this court said in the Guan case, quote, Guan conflates a politically motivated prosecution with a politically motivated crime, end quote. And that's 925 F3rd at 1031 to 32. And that's precisely what you have here. This is not in any conception a political crime. This is not like, marijuana possession to protest Russia's marijuana laws. This is a crime that had nothing to do with politics whatsoever. The prosecution itself is alleged to be politically motivated, but that doesn't, that is not what this crime bar or INA bar is referring to. And this court has specifically rejected that proposition that a politically motivated prosecution, deprives a crime of its serious non-political character. If I may, I'll just quickly address the protection claims as well. The basis for both past persecution and the future torture claims arise from a single search of petitioner's home in 2018. But the basis for that search was petitioner's admission that the drugs were in the house, and the search turned up evidence of that very criminal activity. A single search supported by probable cause is obviously a very thin reed to which to compel a contrary conclusion that the governing substantial evidence standard is met here. And indeed, this court has specifically held that, quote, torture does not include pain and suffering arising from inherent in or incidental to lawful sanctions. And I think that's very close here, where this is incidental to what would clearly be a lawful search under, U.S. domestic law, where if you admit to a crime, that's probable cause that, the evidence of the crime will be found when you admit it's there. And the IJ's conclusions that past persecution or future torture are not more likely than not, or that there's not a well-founded fear, is particularly strong here given three additional pieces of evidence. First, no additional threats were reported in the 4 years after that search. Second, petitioner Valeria testified that although she shared her husband's beliefs, she did not express them. And their petitioners repeatedly traveled abroad and returned to Russia between 2012 and 2017 at a time where the petitioner Anton was making critical comments about the Russian government. And their willingness to repeatedly leave and then return to Russia certainly undermines that they had a well-founded fear persecution of a country to which they repeatedly left and returned. So given that, we think substantial evidence supports the IJ and BIA's findings as to both past persecution and likelihood of future torture. And if there's no further questions, I'll...
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Whenever you're ready, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor. Last few words, I'd like to point the court's attention again to the immigration judge's decision in 95 to 96. And I want to frame it as if, in this case, if the judge had said, I'm rejecting petitioner's respondent's testimony that it was 2 grams and he only purchased it for use, personal use. If the immigration judge had rejected that testimony and not deemed that testimony credible, then we wouldn't be here today. Because that testimony conflicts with a sales conviction that is connected to Guan v. Barr. That makes this a serious non-political crime. And it needed to be analyzed under a matter of YL. If it's an exception for one drug sales, why shouldn't it be considered for an exception for a second drug sales? And we need to remand for that reason.
Great. Thank you. Thank you both for the argument. The case is submitted. And our final case for argument today is Cortez Rodriguez versus Blanche.